Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, the go-to source for Canadian entrepreneurs and business leaders. Join us as we dive deep into the heart of Canada's business community, bringing you inspiring stories, cutting-edge insights, and practical advice from our nation's brightest minds in marketing, innovation, leadership, and tech. Whether you're launching a startup or scaling your enterprise, our mission is to empower your journey with wisdom that makes a difference. Let's grow together, right here, right now.
Hi, everyone. This is Maheen, your host, and welcome back to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, where we're thrilled to guide you through another episode dedicated to the empowerment and success of small businesses. Today, we are here to delve into the complex world of small business partnerships, the challenges of legal disputes, and the pathways to amicable resolutions. It's an honor to welcome James Cooper, barrister and solicitor, to our podcast today. James, hailing from Toronto area, offers a wealth of experience in assisting small business owners and self-represented litigants with flexible legal services. His creative and client-focused approach towards negotiating and mediating partnership disputes has been pivotal for many businesses in managing their legal fees effectively. Today, James joins us to share his insights into the art of settling legal disputes and ensuring each business partner's interests and goals are aligned for success. Join us as we delve into James' expertise. Good afternoon, James, and welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Maheen. Thanks for inviting me on your podcast, and I look forward to informing your listeners.
We're quite keen as well to explore your strategies and learn how to navigate partnership disputes with grace and efficiencies. But before we delve into the heart of today's conversations, this is a reminder for our listeners that why we're here. Each small business story, including the insights that James will share, is a mosaic of dreams, challenges, and triumphs. So it's a reminder that behind every legal dispute or partnership, a challenge lies an opportunity to really learn, grow, and emerge stronger. So let's find solutions together that not only resolve conflicts, but also pave the way for a brighter, more collaborative future. James, let's begin by really learning more about your journey into legal support for small businesses and how every expert's path offers a unique perspective on their field. James, your transition into supporting small businesses with legal challenges speak volumes about your commitment to accessible legal aid. Could you share with us what inspired you to specialize in providing legal support specifically for small businesses and self-represented litigants?
Okay, well, I started off soon after I got my law degree. I went into a sort of unconventional way of providing legal services. I initially just started, I wanted to work with other lawyers and provide them litigation support, legal research, and I only worked with other lawyers and law firms providing analysis for them. What I found, however, was that at the time I had an ad running in the Ontario courts, and I increasingly had members of the public calling me. And I just found that they wanted, I was coming from a legal research, case law research point of view. And as some of your listeners may or may not know, when you get into case law, which I come from analyzing case law, you get a real insight into disputes, how they start, how they're resolved, but more importantly, how judges resolve conflicts. Now, I'm not a specialist, I'm a generalist. So in any dispute, be it family law, civil law, or all over, you just start to notice that there are certain commonalities across all kinds of disputes. So when I started offering what is called limited scope services to members of the public, also called self-represented litigants, people who didn't have a lawyer record, for many reasons, often because they were sophisticated or they just didn't have the budget for a full carriage lawyer. The types of services I offered was what I would call meat on the bone services to help self-represented litigants understand their dispute, to articulate the guts of their dispute, and to formulate legal arguments and evidence in line with the relevant case law. Now, the interesting thing is that when you're engaging in litigation, our court system is set up to encourage settlement because there are cost consequences to going to litigation. Though you apply case law to try and get insights into kind of wargaming how the results of litigation will be so you can inform the client and improve the odds of winning their case. Of course, every judge is different. We have a system, it's called a common law system, which applies precedent decisions, prior decisions, and you want to, as much as possible, find similar fact case law that aligns with your facts, and then hopefully it's supported. If it's not supportive case law, that also tells you something that maybe you shouldn't be filing a claim against the person you're disputing with. Now, with regards to business partners, and particularly small business partners, their disputes can arise for a variety of reasons. I mean, I can just off the top of my head, one very common business dispute happens among partners when they go into business with different needs and different skills. You often have situations where one partner is the working partner. And for various reasons, they want funding. So they go into business with a partner who's providing funding and they're the non-working partner. As things develop, sometimes the non-working partner, and this sometimes happens where the non-working partner loses trust in the working partner, and then the non-working partner starts to want to exercise management skills. Or management responsibilities that haven't been provided for in the agreement. Other times you have situations where the business becomes successful and the working partner is, there's no more funds coming in. And so the working partner is kind of thinking about, what can I do to, he gets resentful. What can I do to have an exit and grow this business without having to share the profits with someone who I don't need as much? That's not always a reasonable it's not a reasonable proposition, because the argument is, of course, is that that working partner couldn't have gotten to where they had gotten without the financial support of the other partner. And in other instances, you have people who are both working partners, and they go in with a common vision, but for one reason or another, they just, their visions just depart. Partnership is like a marriage, and it's amazing that because I also do family law litigation support for self-represented litigants, and you find for various reasons that what inspired the chemistry that inspired two people to go into business together breaks down. There's often a cascade of behavior that creates a lack of trust. And the most common thing for all disputes is that, which I found very interesting, when you see enough people, you tend to see a commonality, is that they think they're arguing over the same thing, but often they kind of create for themselves this notion of, here's my argument, and the other person has an argument. And then when you delve into both person's interests and what they're looking for, you find that they're often talking at cross purposes. They don't understand each other's interests. And that's where there's a need to have somebody come in and say, hey, just let me reframe what you're asking for. And then you articulate that to the one partner, and then you articulate the other partner's interests. And they need to trust that a third party can articulate their interests to the other party. That's where mediation can work. I could go into, if you'd like, where mediation can often break down, because when you hire a mediator, a mediator is often under the pressure to split the difference between the respective parties' positions. And that can become a problem when you have one party who is objectively reasonable and another party who's not objectively reasonable. Now, how do you determine who's being reasonable and who isn't? Well, when it's a legal dispute, you have to go into the terms of the agreement. That will often give you a solution as to who's abiding by the agreement, who isn't. That's number one. Number two, there's this notion of fiduciary responsibility, which is a really key issue here. Fiduciary responsibility, fiduciary duty, means that each partner recognizes that they have a duty to each other and they have a duty to the business enterprise that they share. So you look at that, and you also look at who is being reasonable, which is actually a legal term, but often guided by this notion of who is abiding by the letter and spirit of the agreement between the parties, and who is acting in accordance with their fiduciary duty to each other and to the business they share. And often what guides us in determining those questions is if you look at the case law where there has been similar disputes, this is my philosophy. I find it very helpful, particularly when you're mediating a dispute. It's a way of not showing bias for one party or the other. You do a case law research. You see, you look at each party's position, and then you come up with the result and say, hey, look, I looked at this situation, and here's what the case law says. And that's a way of telling each party to make them feel that they're not giving away anything, or they're not being played a sucker, or that the mediator is not unduly favoring one party over the other. Because you're saying, look, here's just the case law, and if this goes to mediation, it's not reasonable.
So James, your journey really highlights the significant impact that dedicated legal support can have on sustainability and growth of small businesses. Now, let's kind of understand a bit more about common reasons for business partnership breakdown. And understanding the root causes of partnership breakdowns is quite crucial for prevention and resolution. James, what are some of the most common reasons you've encountered for business partnerships breaking down?
Well, lack of communication, lack of trust, that each party is going into the business enterprise with expectations that align at the time they enter the business enterprise. And then as the business grows, their goals and visions slowly depart. And so it's kind of like a marriage that breaks down.
Mm-hmm. And identifying and really addressing the root causes of partnership breakdowns is key to fostering a healthy business relationship and ensuring longevity. But let's kind of really touch base on the mediation strategies for business partners. I mean, mediation plays such a pivotal role in resolving disputes amicably and preserving business relationships. James, can you elaborate on some of the mediation strategies you employ to encourage disputing business partners to reach to a settlement?
Sure. So when a lawyer acts as a mediator, there's two ways they can do that. One, they can act as being, hired jointly by the parties and acting as a true mediator, one who splits the difference. And we'll get into that. The other one is where each party takes it to a mediator, and they hire a lawyer to represent themselves. So if I'm going in as one party's lawyer on a mediation, then my role is to articulate my client's position to the mediator. Now, when you're going in as a partisan of a client, here's where every lawyer acts differently. I tend to say to my clients, look, the way our legal system works, the victory goes to the most reasonable. And particularly when you're dealing with small business partners, I do recognize that what you need to do first and foremost is avoid litigation. Because once the matter goes to litigation, the legal costs can be huge, and you could end up cannibalizing and destroying the business you both share. So one mediation strategy, which I like to employ, is to determine, is this relationship that's broken down, is it repairable? If it's repairable, then you want to restructure an agreement going forward. And then you have to understand each party's interests and see if it's repairable. If it's not repairable, you want to craft a mutually amicable exit strategy. But the goal, again, is to avoid litigation or anything that is going to be destructive to the party's shared enterprise.
Right. I mean, James, your approach to mediation really emphasizes the importance of mutual understanding and aligning interests for a successful resolution. But navigating separation in business partnerships, because that's a very key and important focus of our discussion today as well, because not all partnerships can continue harmoniously, leading some to consider parting ways to preserve the business's integrity. In situations where it isn't feasible for disputing partners to continue together, what assistance might you offer to help them part ways amicably while avoiding expensive litigation?
Well, first of all, it starts with the agreement between the parties. So let me back up. If some of your listeners are contemplating entering into a business partnership, a good rule of thumb is that you should a good agreement means you have to have really good divorce terms. You have to plan for worst case scenarios. It's highly recommended that when you enter into an agreement, should there be any disagreement, you should agree to take it to arbitration. Arbitration is cheaper, and you want to have that in your agreement so that the agreement will guide the terms of the breakdown. Also, you need to look at the divorce terms. We call them divorce or termination terms, or ending of the partnership. As a lot of your listeners might know, some agreements come with what are called shotgun clauses. So a shotgun clause, and I'm sure a lot of your partners know, is one party makes an offer, and the other party then can either buy those shares at the offer. I don't want to get deep into the strategies of shotgun, but the thing is, with the shotgun terms, the party who's the better resourced party has the advantage. So it's fine when you're talking about getting out or having divorce terms, you do have to look at the agreement. You kind of have to work within the agreement. If the agreement has terms like shotgun terms, then there's not really much you can do. So what I advise people, particularly before they get into a business relationship, particularly where one party's coming into the relationship far better resourced and you're looking to grow, that you should sit down with a lawyer and take them through these various contingencies. What if the business grows and you've invested your time and opportunity? It's not always about money. Some people don't want to be shotgunned out of the business enterprise that they've worked on simply because the other party's better resourced. So a shotgun clause might not be appropriate to that person's interests. So there are some limitations as to how to exit a toxic relationship. But where there is arbitration, what you can do is you can lay the groundwork for a smooth arbitration, maybe even avoid arbitration. But what you need to do first and foremost is work to generate goodwill between each other and ensure that people aren't attacking each other. And they really have to have trust in the mediator. And the mediator's role is to build trust between the parties and get them to see that they have a mutual interest. I find that when parties pull back and realize, hey, we're still married and we have a mutual interest, one good strategy might be, why don't we work to preserve the value of this business and sell it to a third party, arm's length third party buyer. Mm-hmm. That often might be an issue. There might also be terms where both parties have intellectual property or business practices, and they'd like to take that business practice or some of the tradecraft that they developed in the business to develop elsewhere. So you want to delineate the sort of called gang territory between the parties. So entering into a way that they can both use the expertise and the skills and some of the craft they learned in the business, where they can both go their separate ways. So that might be there's a number of different strategies. The key is you got to listen for the interests of each party and repair trust.
Your expertise really offers a pathway for business partners to separate amicably, ensuring that the business's and individual's best interests are both maintained. Now, let's discuss the role of clear communication and understanding, because miscommunication and misunderstandings often underpin partnership disputes, highlighting the need for clear and open dialogue. James, how do you facilitate a deeper understanding and clear communication between distributing partners?
Okay, yeah, so what I do first, there's this term called steel manning, which is the opposite of a straw man argument. I find that when people argue with each other, what they tend to do is they create these straw man distorted versions of the other party's complaint. What I try to do is I try to get them to say, you know what? I introduce them this concept of the steel man. Think of the person you're disputing with and think of the best arguments they have for their dispute. Try to put yourself in their position. That's a part of trying to get people to think reasonably. So once you do that, you try and get them to off their positional aspects. That helps. And it also helps, again, to resort to case law, to say, here's case law. And the important thing is you want to take the party out of themselves and get them to see themselves from their other partner's eyes and from the eyes of a judge who's adjudicated on a similar fact situation. I find when you do that, it's a good strategy for ensuring or making it more likely that each party will be more reasonable down the line.
That's amazing. I mean, fostering clear communication and understanding is crucial in preventing disputes and maintaining a healthy partnership dynamic. And as we approach the end of our discussion today, James, I'd like to tap into your wealth of experience one last time for our small business owners listening. Could you share a piece of overarching advice or a guiding principle that you believe every small business owner should keep in mind as they work to build, maintain, and sometimes even dissolve business partnerships?
Absolutely. Be reasonable at all times and just keep in mind this notion that you owe a fiduciary duty to the business you share in common and you owe a fiduciary duty to each other. And when you communicate, just don't say anything that you wouldn't want any other person to know. This is a very important point. Always be reasonable. And this is good legal advice from a lawyer. Once you start disputing with your partner, it's incredibly important to start communicating by email. So it's no longer a he said, she said situation. And when you communicate by email, that's where you're, in my view, once you start even having a dispute, well before you go to court, you're already in potential litigation territory. So document what you say to your other partner, sound reasonable, because everything you say from there on could end up in court or arbitration.
James, it's been an honor and a privilege to have you with us today. I mean, sharing your profound insights and strategies for navigating the complexities of business partnerships and legal disputes. I mean, your expertise really offers a lifeline to small business owners facing these daunting challenges. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Before we conclude, folks, it's crucial to reflect on the journey we've taken today. James' expertise has really illuminated paths through some of the thickest fog, legal disputes, and partnership challenges. Carry these lessons forward and apply them with wisdom and compassion in your own business endeavors. Please learn more and read James by visiting their website, selfreplawyer.ca. And to our esteemed listeners, please thank you for tuning in again. And we hope the stories and strategies discussed today really empower you to approach your business challenges with confidence and clarity. Our heartfelt thank you to James and our partners, exclusive banking partner RBC, our shipping partner UPS, our accounting software partner Xero, and our exclusive email partner Constant Contact for their support of the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Your support makes these conversations possible and bringing valuable insights and solutions to the forefront for our small business community. Remember to subscribe to our Canadian SME Small Business Magazine at canadiansme.ca for more inspiring stories, expert advice, and the latest news to help your business thrive.
Thank you for tuning in to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Your support fuels our passion for empowering Canadian businesses. Don't miss out on our next episode, filled with fresh perspectives and actionable strategies. Subscribe at CanadianSME.ca and be part of a community that's shaping the future of Canadian business. Until next time, keep innovating, growing, and making a difference.